from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. Welcome back to the Better Lawns and Gardens, the second hour. I'm Teresa Watkins. I want to thank all of our listeners and our callers. The second hour, we can take your phone calls, 1-888-455-2967, or you can text at 23680. And I want to welcome our listeners. We've got new ones. Frank, Janice, and Carol, thank you so much for going to our Facebook page and liking us. I do appreciate it. We have listeners in Bradenton, Davenport, Freeport, Florida, and Ormond Beach, Naples, Port St. Lucie, and also Key West. But we also have listeners out in Texas and Alabama and South Carolina. And so the gardening information basically works the same. If you know, the same kind of southeast climate, zones 8, 9, and 10, and 11. We just get a little bit more rain sometimes than some of those cities. But if you could do us one favor, Lizzie and I, one favor, if you will tell one family member, one friend, one neighbor about Better Lawns and Gardens. And if they have a gardening question, you can say to them, do you know, I wonder what Teresa thinks about that.
Right.
And that they can call.
Yeah, and they don't have to be in the South either. They, as long as we know their zone, Teresa's excellent because we've given suggestions to like Alaska and then the Northern California.
Indiana, and all of our listeners up north, our snowbirds up there, we do appreciate them. And so it is time for John Denver.
Inch by inch, row by row, gonna make this garden grow. All it takes is a rake and a hoe and a piece of fertile ground. Inch by inch, row by row, someone bless these seeds I sow. Someone warm them from below till the rain comes tumbling down.
And now it's time for the dirty word of the day on Better Lawns and Gardens with Teresa Watkins.
And the dirty word of the day is Enations. E-N-A-T-I-O-N. Enation or Enations. They are scaly, leaf-like structures differing from leaves in their lack of vascular tissues. And this word I am using today is for whisk ferns, the rare Florida native. It's not a vascular plant, but it does have some characteristics. And so they even have their own theory called Enation theory that accounts for the origin of the fern leaf by suggesting that it rose from the development of simple outgrowths, which is Enation. Enations are also found on some early plants such as Rhynia, where they are hypothesized to have aided in photosynthesis during the Devonian period, a geological period and system of the Paleozoic era 60 million to 419 million years ago. The Devonian period is named after Devon in southwest England, where the rocks from this period were first studied. Enations are found on lower vascular plants, which are any of the spore-bearing vascular plants, including the ferns, club mosses, spike mosses, quill warts, horsetails, and whisk ferns. Once considered of the same evolutionary line, these plants were formerly placed in a single group. A lot of dirty words today. Pteridophyta were known as ferns and fern allies. Although modern studies have shown that the plants are not in fact related, these terms are still used in discussing lower vascular plants. And so the word of the day is Enations, and that is what is comes out of the whisk ferns. They're not leaves, they're not roots, but they are leaf-like, scale-like structures that is what the epiphyte, the whisk ferns, have to help them carry on their line of species. So, dirty word of the day, lots of them in there.
I'm not exactly sure how I can use that this week.
Enations. Enations could be thought of something as really skinny and poking out of rocks and things like that. So, the broom had some, the broom had enation-like, enation, structures on them. I don't know. But it's a dirty word.
Do you guys like how I just let her struggle like that? I'm just sitting here watching through the glass. I'm like, okay, come on.
You're so unfair. It's Saturday morning. And so we would love to have you give us a call, 1-888-455-2967, or you can text us 23680. Tell us what you're having for your morning beverage. I'm having my cup of tea. And we have a great question today from Debbie, and she was wanting to know how she can control nematodes in her vegetable garden beds. So we will get to that in the next segment. But let me go ahead and run through some of the questions. So HR in Jacksonville, he said, we bought our home. We had Mexican petunia in several areas around our landscape. It has been taking over. And I was told by a master gardener that it is an invasive species. I have started pulling it up. What is a good replacement? And he said, thank you. Well, thank you for pulling up the invasive variety. And so the Mexican petunias, which we sold for years and is all over the state of Florida, is invasive. But we do have, if you like that color, purple, and like that type of look, the foliage and everything in your garden, and butterflies do love them, they do now have sterile cultivars that you can buy. And they're called, these are Ruellia cultivars. And the Mayan series, the Mexican culture, Mayan, the Mayan series that comes in white, purple, and pink. And then they also have a compact variety, and these are not invasive, and they do attract butterflies. But there's also a Florida native Ruellia carolinensis, and that can be found at native nurseries, and you can plant that instead. Now, if you would like to plant a non-native, I would say any of the purple variety of salvias would work, and also porterweed would work too as well. Great question, AR. Thank you so much for pulling out that invasive Mexican petunia. If it's Saturday morning, from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins. And this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and I would love to have your gardening questions. 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680 and let me know what's going on. So Lori in St. Cloud, she had a question about her bushy crepe myrtles. Can they be trimmed into more of a tree, or are they a different species and just stay bushy? I'd love to know the variety of crepe myrtle you have. Are they the black diamond ones that have multiple trunks coming up and they stay nice and leaves are full down to the bottom? Or are they the actual different shrub crepe myrtles? So if they are the shrub crepe myrtles, you can, get them down to one trunk, but it takes a lot of work, and they're just going to be short, stumpy. So I would like to know what variety they are, if you can text me that, Lori, and I can give you a little bit better answer. Our normal and our popular crepe myrtles all can be trimmed up into a standard, and they have different heights from 8 feet all the way up to 40 feet tall. But the bushy ones usually are used as shrubs or hedges, and they stay right around 4 to 5 feet, even 6 feet tall, and make nice hedges. They don't necessarily look good as a standard, okay? And that would be a lot of cutting, and you'd get a lot of suckering. So I don't know whether I do it or not, but it just, again, depends on the variety. I don't know what you have. So Debbie, she contacted me, and she said, how can I control nematodes in my vegetable garden beds? I have found a product, and I'm wondering if it really works. I talked to the local gardening center, and they told me there's nothing that can be done, and the best thing would be to dig out all the soil and replace. And then she writes, seriously, with a question mark. I have read that mustard green plants will draw the nematodes to their roots, and then you pull those plants and dispose of them. Is this true, and how many plants would I need to rid an entire section of my garden of these pests? My okra was ruined this summer, and last year I had a bountiful harvest, but the plants were in a different location. I try to rotate, and I'm afraid to plant anything in the areas where I've had a problem. I had a couple of summer tomatoes plants in different beds, and they died from nematode, devastating their roots. And so, Debbie, thank you for writing. It is an issue here in Florida. Because of the sandy soils, we have beneficial nematodes, and we have ones that are considered pests, and they're very devastating to our landscape. And so there are some things you can do to have a vegetable garden without nematodes. So the first thing, Debbie, that I want you to do is get a soil test from your extension office where you're going to be planting your vegetable garden, okay? And that's going to tell you what kind of nutrients you have in your soil and what kind of issues you have going on with the nutrition there. Then the next thing you can get from the extension office is a nematode assay test, A-S-S-A-Y. And this will tell you what kind of nematodes you have and how many you have and what to do about it. They will send you back a report. Then the next thing you could do is solarize that area. Solarizing your vegetable garden bed will destroy the nematodes. And I would say you probably need to do this every couple of years or so, just for, you know, 10 to 12 weeks, solarize it, and then you can grow and the nematodes will be destroyed. The other thing you can do is add organic amendments to the soil. The regular root knot nematodes, all of the bad nematodes, they do not like organic, nutritious soil, okay? So you want to add organic amendments to it, and you can apply one bag of topsoil, one bag of black cow, and one bag of compost for every 10 square feet of area. Or you can apply 5 to 100 pounds of black cow per 100 square feet of garden, all right? And that will help reduce the nematodes, and it will actually stop them. Now, the compost and the organic amendments in your vegetable garden, they're going to get used up, and that will get depleted. So you have to keep adding them every year or every couple of years to your garden bed to make sure that you do not get the nematodes back. Then you have another solution. You can buy nematode-resistant vegetable varieties. Now, how you do this is you want to check the seed packet label for resistance. They will have the initial of the letter M, not M, N as in nematode, N on the packet front. And that will tell you they're nematode resistant. So you want to plant varieties of vegetables that are nematode resistant. And then the other solutions is rotate your crops. You want to add, you want to start off with whatever you're growing. And what I mean by that is, let's say you're growing pole beans and all kinds of legumes this summer. Then in the fall, you would like to plant lettuce and cabbage, all the brassicas, okay, all the green vegetables. You'll change to those. Then you want to plant the next season, you'll plant your tomatoes and your peppers and all of your fruiting vegetables. The next season, you would go to your root vegetables, your beets, your radishes. Then you go back to the legumes and start the whole process over again. Okay, so changing them out like that, adding organic amendments to the soil, and then making sure that you're using nematode-resistant varieties will make sure that you have a successful harvest, Debbie. Okay, and so I really do appreciate you asking that question. It is an issue here in Florida, but we just need to understand that by amending our soils, we're reducing the nematode population in that soil. All right, so if you have a gardening question, 1-888-455-2967, or you can text me at 23680. Let's go to Louis in Palm Bay, I guess. Palm Bay?
Yes.
Yes. How can I help you, Louis?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I have an avocado tree that I planted from a seed about 7 years ago.
Okay.
It grew beautifully. I fertilized it often when it was needed. and it bear fruit 2 years ago, about a dozen avocados. They're the long neck avocados.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Then last year it yielded about 80 of them.
Wow!
And I was so happy. And but this year, for some reason, it hasn't yielded one. And I think I did a mistake on it. I had a couple of suggestions from other friends that I should have clip the top leading branch so the tree would grow sideways and like an umbrella instead of going so tall and then I can't even reach the avocados.
Right.
So I did after it finished the harvest. After it stopped producing, I did, it was almost fall, I think it was.
Okay.
Last year.
Okay.
And I think that did it. I haven't got one fruit this year yet.
Okay.
Is that something that I did wrong or?
Okay. So, we don't listen to our friends. Okay.
Facts. Okay.
I don't think the pruning of the topping it off has anything to do with it. I need to ask though, do you have irrigation on it or do you hand water
it? Yes. No, I have irrigation.
Okay, and how often does it go on?
It does it's for the whole yard and it goes about, it depends on how the rain falls. When it's drought, I usually put it every other day.
Okay. All right. So I will tell you, though, you had a really good harvest last year, right, with the 80 avocados? Did we lose them?
Yes.
Okay. Louis, did you have a really good harvest with the 80 avocados last year?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So this year, I think you have kind of like a double issue. One is that we had a very severe drought. And all the way back, you know, last fall through the wintertime,
yes.
it was drier than normal. And this summer, we have not had any rain. I think that could be part of the issue, that it just did not have enough water for it to feel comfortable to produce the fruit. But the other thing is that last year it had 80 fruit and it said, that's it. I'm done for a couple of years. Okay.
Oh,
and
really?
It just got tired. All right. So, you know, I would say that the combination of the two is that it just took a break. All right.
Oh.
And so you'll have fruit next year as well. So I want you to keep up the watering. Okay. And just watering your yard. Okay. I don't want you to water your yard every other day during droughts. We want to water normally. But I want you to look at your irrigation system and see if we can get something on that avocado. Or maybe you just want to hand water it, twice a week so that it gets more water when we do have droughts. Okay?
I see.
Keep up the fertilizing. Make sure it's getting some water. And you can top it off. I don't necessarily agree with that, but, you know, you can do that. That's fine. It's not going to affect the fruiting process. Okay?
I see.
And then call me back next year when you have flowers on your tree and you have fruit.
Well, I did have flowers this year, a lot of them.
But they fell off.
And I thought, oh, wow, I'm going to have a good harvest this year again.
Yep.
And they just fell off. And I don't know if it was a wind that
it just didn't have the nutrition it needed to hold on to those, nutrition or the water. But how often are you fertilizing?
Every fall.
Okay, I would do it every 3 to 4 months with an avocado fertilizer. Sunnyland has a really good one, and avocado citrus fertilizer. And you're going to want to put several pounds on it. How tall is it?
It's about probably about 15 feet tall.
Okay, you're going to want to put at least up to 5 pounds of fertilizer on it, but follow the Sunnyland avocado citrus fertilizer label. You're going to want to put more fertilizer on it. Thank you so much, Louis. I appreciate your call. If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins. If you'd like to give me a call, I would love to hear from you. 1-888-455-2967. You can put that in your phone and call us anytime. And then 23680 for your text messages. And I would love to hear from you. So let's see. What is a good organic potting soil for flowers and a good organic growing soil for wheatgrass and other sprouts? There are a lot of great products that you can get in your nurseries or the box stores. You want to, depending on the flower variety, you can just use regular potting mix, organic potting mix that you find in the stores. But you want to use a lightweight, okay, nothing dense like garden soil or anything with topsoil and lots of manure in it for your wheatgrass. You want to use a lightweight potting soil, something like you would use for seed starting, okay, for your wheatgrass. And that's what I would use. So lightweight organic soil for your wheatgrass. And then you can use for your flowers, if they're transplants or larger, not seeds, but if they're transplants or larger, if you would like to use the regular organic potting mixes, then those will work just fine too as well. All right, great question. Thank you so much. So I have a question from Zone 8. When I was young, and she says, I'm older than dirt. Well, that's the goal. And so we hope we all get older than dirt. Growing up in Ormond Beach, when it was a jungle, there was a big bush or tree with fern-like branches that when we touched them, they would draw back like closing. Then in a short while, would open back up again. Do you know what that is? And she said, we, of course, never knew, but we had fun with them. Yes, I do. That is a mimosa-sensitive plant. It is a shrub or a tree. The scientific name is Mimosa pudica, and that's different than the Mimosa strigulosa that we put on the ground. So Mimosa pudica, but it's also called touch-me-not plant, and then it's also called shame plant. So when you touched it, it got ashamed and embarrassed, and it would close up. So that was a very popular plant back in the 40s, 50s, and 60s here in Florida. So I do appreciate that memory. I do remember them. So 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680. What should you be doing this time of the month? Well, let's talk about our fruit trees and vegetables, which Dana Venrick will be here next week with Quality Green Specialist. He's going to be talking about all the shade trees that we can be planting right now, because isn't this the time of the year that we go, gosh, I wish we had planted a shade tree. And, so this is the time of the year to do it. So if you have a mango or lychee, this is going to, after you harvest the fruit, you want to go ahead and prune it now, okay, and get it down to a height that you can manage. This is the time so that you have 3 to 4 months for the plants and the shrubs and the trees to harden off before winter comes. And we're going to have a La Nina year this year. And that's going to mean it's going to be wet. And we're not going to have any kind of major freezes, but it will get cold. So we could have freezes. They're not just going to be as many or last as long. You want to check your pineapples. The fruits are ready when they're fragrant and they turn yellow to orange. Get them before the raccoons and the bears get them. You want to feed your bananas and figs this month. And then also your grapes, apples, and peaches can use a fertilizer summer feeding right now. You want to follow label instructions, okay? The label is the law, and that's going to tell you exactly what you need to do. Feed sweet potatoes. You can go ahead and feed those right now. And if you've had potatoes planted last spring, then you could go ahead and start harvesting them. They take about 100 days before they are good. So you could be able to harvest your potatoes. And I've got to bring you a potato bag, Lizzie. I remember. I forgot. And I will bring you a potato bag. All right. You can feed your citrus. You can go with 1/2 pound. I'm sorry. Gotcha. 1/4 pound of citrus fertilizer per inch of trunk. So when they, when Louis called about his avocado tree, we start to go into pounds once it gets up to about 10 to 12 feet tall. And with your citrus, the same thing. When it gets 8 to 10 feet tall, or it's older than, you know, 7 years, you're talking about fertilizing up to 5 pounds per tree. And again, you want to follow the label, but just sprinkling, you know, the fertilizer underneath the tree isn't going to get you the results you want. And so if you want a really good harvest, get the fertilizer instructions. And for citrus and avocados, it will be up to 5 pounds per tree, depending on the height. And then also, too, as your citrus is growing its new leaves, here's what we want to do to prevent the citrus greening from the psyllids to attack the tree. You want to apply a minor nutrient spray and insecticide at each flush of new growth. So you're looking at your tree and you go, oh, wow, look at all the new leaves. Go ahead and apply an insecticide to it to prevent the moth and the psyllids, which spread the disease, to getting your tree, okay? And the moths are talking about the leaf miners, and that's the insect that you see the symptoms of after the leaf miners left. So you see that little squiggly line that is in the leaves, and it's all the way around the leaf, and it flies out. When you see that squiggly line, the moths are already gone. You want to apply the insecticide when that new flush of growth is out, and that's going to prevent the moths from getting into your leaves and laying their eggs and hatching and doing the damage. Also, too, turn off your outside night lights because you don't want to have moths in your yard. Let's go to, Polk City. Eileen. Good morning, Eileen. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I am great.
I have a question for you. I heard you and Lizzie talking earlier this morning. My son was here, so I couldn't call before. What were you and Lizzie talking about that had alcohol in it? Was it Pedialyte?
No.
Or...
Eileen always calls us and she's got jokes. All right, yeah, Noah, it's Body Armor. Yeah, no. It's the, I call it the adult version, but there is no alcohol in it. So, yeah.
I know.
She always got jokes.
There you go. No, I that's what I thought I heard, Eileen, but we were wrong, thankfully. So
mm-hmm. I know where the two of y'all's minds are. Mm-hmm.
I had to call and just say something about it. You know me.
Well, thank you for listening. We do appreciate it. We're right on the limit. Sorry, Eileen, we had to go to a break. 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680. We've got more of your phone calls coming up. Rich, hang on there. It's Saturday morning. You're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, 1-888-455-2967, or you can text me 23680. Let's go to Rich in Orange City. Good morning, Rich.
Good morning. I'm trying to grow some mimosa strigliose.
Uh-huh.
And they're going very slow. I started them in little pots with a seed starter.
Uh-huh.
And transplanted them into the ground about 3 weeks ago.
Okay.
And they've done very little. I do see a little bit of growth on some of them. Others are just sitting there. Uh-huh. They're nice and green, but doing nothing.
Okay. Well, I want you to have a little bit of patience because they are putting roots down. So you're not seeing anything on the top, but they are putting roots down and growing deeper. So how often are you watering it?
Oh, let's see. It in the beginning, watered every day. Now I've backed off to maybe every other day.
Okay.
Maybe every second day.
Okay. So let's back that off. They don't like a lot of water. Okay. And so now go ahead and just water them twice a week like you normally would water your landscape. All right. And it doesn't need to be for hours. I would just say if they get 1 inch of water, and if they get any rain, so if you've been watering on top of the rainfall, they just may just be kind of rotting, okay?
Well, we're not getting any rain.
Oh, so you're in Orange City. No, we haven't, have we? Goodness, no. Orange City hasn't been getting any rain. Go ahead and just water it twice a week for about 30 minutes, okay? And that should put down about a half inch, but you can calibrate your system to figure that out. But I would just go ahead. It's going to take a few months for it to get started. These are slow growers, but then once it gets established, which I would say more around October, November, December, then you're going to see a little bit more growth. It's going to stop when we have cold winter or cold temperatures, and then in the spring it should take off again. Okay, so are they mulched?
Yes, I have a little bit of mulch around them.
Okay, that's fine. You don't want to put too much, but you want to keep the weeds out right now. But that's, yeah, it sounds like they're growing. You just don't see it right now, okay?
All right. Could I give you another question?
Sure.
I have a muscadine grape. It's about 22 years old. It's a Scuppernong.
Yeah.
And this year I had an abundance of grapes. But they're all about size of a pea. Not all of them, but a good part of them.
Uh-huh.
And never had that problem before. And just wondered what could be causing that. I'm thinking it's lack of rain, because we're actually in a drought situation here. This whole summer's been pretty dry, and the spring was the same way.
I would think, Rich, you're spot on. I think that had a lot to do with it. And so, yeah, well, hopefully we'll get some more rain. Do you have irrigation on them that when we don't have enough rainfall that you can get the water on them?
Well, not really, because, they're 22 years old. I would think they could get, the water they need. But they're a southern grape. But, no, I haven't been watering. I mean, how far does the roots go out on one of those?
They will go out a good ways. You know, I would say at least 10 feet. So, it's something that I just think that the drought did have an effect on it.
Okay.
Okay. But it sounds like you're a really good gardener. So I'm looking forward to hearing more from you. So let me know what happens with your Mimosa strigulosa. I'm glad you put it down.
Will do.
All right, hon. Thank you so much for calling. That's Rich in Orange City. And he sounds like he's a really good gardener.
What a tricky name.
Yes. Mimosa strigulosa?
Yep, that is my new nickname. I expect everybody to greet me. You know, some people
hello,
do.
Hello, Mimosa. You know, I love mimosas, especially in the morning. But but Mimosa strigulosa, it's also called Powder Puff. So we could call you Powder Puff.
Nah.
I think that's more appropriate.
No. I like the other one.
Okay, so Lynn in Winter Park, she says, good morning. Is it too late to fertilize her Christmas amaryllis so it will bloom during the holiday? If it's in a pot, a container, no, if you haven't fertilized it, you can go ahead and do it now. That's not a problem. If it's in the ground, I probably say, if you're getting rainfall or have irrigation, I would wait until September and then fertilize it then. All right. So just give it a few more weeks if it's in the ground, and it should be just fine. But if it's in the container, you can go ahead and do it now. So Lyndon Zombie said, if I had an avocado tree that gave me 80 avocados, she'd die. She thinks she died and went to heaven.
Well, what's funny is that we have a lot of news people in our building here in Orlando. And Sandra, she does English and Spanish. And she has one of those long, I don't know what the proper name is, but the long neck avocados. Never had one in my life. I love avocados. I'll eat avocados 20 times a day. Uh-huh. Okay. She brought these in. I'm looking at them. I'm like, okay, these look weird. And so they were very good. So, yes.
I'm really proud of Louie. I just think that's
excellent.
Wonderful because,
yes.
It takes a long time patience for, when you don't have a grafted avocado tree. So it takes, 5 to 7 to 10 years to get fruit from a one that you get from the seed. And he sounds like he's done everything right.
Yep.
And he's had patience. All right. And so Colette in Winter Haven says, can fertilizer be put on avocado trees while it has fruit on it? She has 15-foot tree with only 6 to 8 fruit. No need to do it right now, Colette. Go ahead and wait until the fall, so the end of September, first part of October, and harvest those fruit off first. It's not going to hurt it, but it's not really necessary. So what you want to do is fertilize in the fall, fertilize again in the springtime, and you will definitely have more fruit on it. Hopefully we're not going to have a drought again. I know back in 2001, we had one that lasted 2 years, and knock on wood, and not speaking that to the universe, but hopefully we're going to get some good rainfall this year, and hopefully in the springtime.
Yeah, well, it sounds like we will with the La Nina.
La Nina.
Man, I'm so glad that we got the, the H-E double hockey sticks breeze. And it's over. To me, it's over with.
Yes. Okay. Yes,
but
I do too.
But now I'd rather have this in the background, so yeah, instead of having that before.
I know. There's so many things I want to say, but I don't want to put them out to the universe.
No.
But y'all are reading my mind, okay? Just thinking of what I want to say.
Right. And your newsletter that you have coming up.
Oh, I do have a newsletter coming out. So the September issue will be coming out in a couple of weeks. And you can go ahead and you can go to my website, which is, of course, the www's. But she, SHE-consulting.com. And that stands for Sustainable Horticultural Environments. Or, you can just Google Teresa Watkins and she, and it will come up.
There you go. I love that.
Very easy. And I have all sorts of good things in it. I have, my plant of the month. I just got a great plant just recently. Is called Bluephoria. So I'm really excited about it. I'll be talking about that. And then my landscaping malpractice, how to know when to fire your landscaper, and what to do in the month of September coming up. Give you all those great ideas, Teresa's design tips. And so go to my website, she-consulting.com, to sign up for it. It's free. I do not spam, and I do not sell it, so everyone knows it. I want to thank all our callers today. We had such great calls, great information. Thank you so much. Thank you when you email me, too, as well. I read them on the air, so I do appreciate it. Colette and Frank and Rich, all of you guys. Linda, thank you so much. Eileen, it's so fun to hear from you. And you noticed you didn't hear roosters. You didn't hear roosters, so I don't know what happened there.
I don't want to ask questions. I don't want to be, the accomplice.
Answers to. Well, look at you with your turkey poults that you're going to eat. But you also are in the newsletter. We have a little, you also put in your little life on the farm there, kind of, for you.
Yeah,
and
definitely.
So we'll talk about that. And so it's just been great. It's going to rain a lot this week. In Florida, turn your irrigation systems off. Save the money. Do not pay for something you're getting for free, and your plants will be better off on it. It is better to water less often and longer instead of often and very short periods of time. So you want to water less often but longer. All right. And we will be back next week from 7 to 9 a.m. If you missed any part of the show today, you can go to iHeartRadio and you can see it anywhere where you listen to podcasts. You can find our show, Teresa Watkins, Better Lawns and Gardens.
Yeah.
And they can hear all the back issues.
Yep. And betterlawns.com. That's
betterlawns.com.
100% you can get it right there. So go to betterlawns.com and you can download it there or just listen to it live. So
there you go. I want to say hi to Jennifer if she's listening. So I appreciate her. She's a great gardener. Thank you so much for being here today. If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.